I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And I'm Daniel Zamparelli.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
Hi. Hi. And welcome to episode 31 of Can't Lit.
This is the third episode we've recorded during the Can't Lit Bowl.
So we're pretty bombed.
Yeah, things are maybe going to get out of control.
Yeah, Dina's been bragging about her flirtation prowess and farting, but inaudibly.
Hey guys, I'm really good at flirting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, growth most.
Everything disgusting is happening. Apparently, there's something called the Super Bowl that's happening today, but not here.
Not here.
Can't Lit Bowl. We have nachos.
We did take a break for Beyonce.
Yeah, we did have our own mini halftime.
But not
show.
For Coldplay or whatever his name is.
I don't know.
Who's the third guy?
What
not
third
Beyonce?
Guy?
No,
like,
there's
like
a third guy.
Like a second shooter?
There's like, it's Coldplay, Beyonce, and like.
I don't know.
The song where like, Uptown Funk, oh, da, ba, da, ba, da, da, ba, da. I hate that.
Oh,
Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
What? Again? I thought he was already.
So did Beyonce.
Yeah, but she's Beyonce.
I like Bruno Mars because I like that he loves cocaine. And I think that's, like, great.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Okay, yeah. He loves cocaine.
How do you know this information?
I don't know.
Was there just, like, a long article called...
It's probably a Tumblr I saw somewhere.
We have a very special guest, Bruno Mars. Just kidding.
Welcome, Ben Rollick.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Ben, we're so sorry.
Yeah, things haven't started out the way I hoped they would.
Yeah.
But also, they kind of have.
Yeah. Don't worry. The Uptown Funk, it's going to give it to you.
Also, cocaine.
Cocaine.
There's so much quivering flesh.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Now, we brought you here to murder you. We brought you here.
No, just to kidnap him.
Yeah. We're going to...
Remake Room, but starring you. We want that Oscar. We're going to get it in still under the wire so Leo can't win one, but yeah. You're going to win. Take that, DiCaprio.
Yeah.
He will never win an Oscar.
He's not going to get one.
Good. Also good.
We're pushing him off the door of life into the ocean.
I feel like he picks like the, he's like the Jackass of movie scripts now. He just tries to push further and further and further in hopes of it.
If only he would actually make a Jackass movie, then I would be into it.
It was called Titanic.
Yeah. And everyone won because he drowned.
Burn.
Ben.
We have you here.
Yes, Ben. Yes.
What is happening?
I'm listening to a lot of Beyonce right now because there's a new video. And I'm thinking about going to dance church.
What's dance church?
What?
It's like a 2-hour dancing session on Sunday mornings off of Main Street, of course. People,
who's hosting dance church?
Some sort of church.
Is it at the parkour? Like,
no, I think it's. I can't remember which one. It's off of 17th, but it's like you go and there's a DJ and you dance and. Like, ostensibly no one's on drugs or drinking, but who knows?
What's the church part of it?
I think it's just because it's on Sunday morning.
You just believe in dancing.
You believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it like, yoga? You like pay for like six sessions of like dance church?
No, I think it's by donation. I think
to a real church.
Oh, that's a bit churchier. The donation element.
I think it's a rec center or something.
There's no... Oh, I know what's on... There, no, isn't there... There's a community hall at 17th and Main.
Yeah.
I've been drunk there before. Where did you find out about church dancing?
My friend Erica was talking about it. She's been going lately, so...
Okay. Like... I just need to know more. Like, you haven't gone
so
yet.
So fascinating.
No. So,
I gather it's like going to a rave only at Sunday morning and everyone is completely sober. Not that anyone goes to raves doing drugs or anything.
No, that would never happen. I have a question then. Like, so is it, what kind of music is it?
like electronica, I guess.
Oh, I'm never going to this.
Yeah, I'm not going to that. I mean, you could have said that it was just the new Beyonce song, like, over and over again for 2 hours.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, I would definitely come there. To that. Yeah, last night someone was like, I love this song at this venue that Daniel and I were at. Also turns into a dance club. And I was like, is this a song? Because I don't know anything about electronic music and I don't know anything. And she was like, yeah, it's super popular.
I thought she
and
meant...
I was like, I don't know. And then I said the only way that I would go know about that stuff is if all the songs were Leonard Cohen remixes. And this person that we were talking to was not very impressed with my idea. She was like, oh, that sounds terrible. I was like, first off, it's kind of a joke, but also I still would be into it.
Yeah.
Leonard Cohen remixes would be
fucking awesome.
Wouldn't
that be so
awesome.
Fun? Yeah. Be
she didn't
so
like
fun.
It. She was like, ugh, that's not going to happen. And I was like, ugh.
I
you're
was like,
ruining our fun.
Everything you're talking about is boring. I was not happy about it.
Although I kind of imagine when Leonard Cohen dies, he's going to end up in some sort of like hell dimension, which is just like a Hallelujah remix playing over and over forever.
I feel so bad for him. I'm going to go into that netherworld and save him.
Yeah,
from that.
That's like what dreams may come.
Yeah, it's going to be like that.
Yeah, you're going to do that.
I'm going to do that for him in that moment. That's how much I love him.
Stepping on all the faces of people who have dismissed him.
Yeah. Or people that have recorded terrible covers
of Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just crushing them.
I've watched that movie so many times.
That's really weird that you've watched that particular movie.
I was
so many
obsessed
times.
With that movie.
When you were like a teen?
Yeah. And then like last year. Like I downloaded it again. And I was like, yeah, this is the best. And I just watched it over and over again. Like Cuba Gooding Jr. being like his helper who's a sweet, kind person who gets him through heaven is like that's a dream, that's a great
you
dream.
Like that yeah. Do you have Ben, do you have a thing like a movie like that where you
Empire Records?
Oh yeah, that's great.
I can basically quote the entire movie.
It's wonderful.
I don't think I've ever
who
seen
do
it.
You identify with the most in the movie?
Lucas.
Okay, well Daniel hasn't seen it, so can you maybe give us a little context?
So Empire Records is about a record store. It's basically
in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Robin Tunney's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Rory Cochran, Ethan Embry, who is the pinnacle of my heart. What's his face from Grease 2? Max Caulfield.
Oh, yeah. Max Caulfield.
I'm happy somebody knew Grease 2.
Yeah, Grease 2 is
another
so
movie
good.
I watched
it's a, great
a million
movie.
Times.
It's a great movie.
Cool
Rider.
Basically, Lucas is this guy that figures out he's like let loose with the cash. He's closing the store. He has to do cash drop, and then he like figures out that the boss is going to sell the store to like a gentrifying upscale music store called Music Town.
Back when that was a thing.
So he like takes off all the cash to Atlantic City to try and like double it so that they can buy the store. Loses all the money. And then it's basically like the day in the life of day in the life of a store, while all this shit is going on.
It also, Liv Tyler's in it.
Yeah,
which, oh, that's a good. Selling
and she
point.
Has a crazy speed freakout, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really
yeah,
good.
I feel like that's the one selling point you got.
She wear is she wears a beautiful plaid skirt that is so wonderful.
And yeah, there's that scene where she strips, and it's really super awkward
because she has a crush on this older.
Pop star
like, who's a dirtbag, but she doesn't realize it, which is also a great lesson for every young person to be like, if your heroes are willing to let you strip in front of them, they're probably shitty.
Yeah
super like depressing like blowjob request scene too.
Oh, it's really bad. Yeah, Liv Tyler has some sad moments in the movie, so it's really good. You should watch it.
Yes. Did not sell me on it except for Liv Tyler.
I gave you all the good points from her scene.
Dina, give me your what's happening.
What is happening? Oh, this week, a really great thing happened that I've been trying to make happen for a long time. It's something I call Pull Tabs Karaoke. And me and some friends went to this bar, which is called Shenanigans. Which is one of Vancouver's finest bars. It's just a bar. It's like a hotel bar, but...
It's down on Davie, right?
It's
but without the hotel.
Robson. It's on Robson. No, there is a hotel.
There's a hotel?
It's attached to the Blue Horizon Hotel on
I
Robson
did not
Street.
Know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of looks like it's actually attached to a bowling alley.
It does.
Like, that's the visual design.
It does. It has great design that has been unchanged since the 80s. Lots of teals and pinks and purples.
Yeah. And there's lots of like random shapes.
Yeah.
And the bathroom tile kind of looks like the theme is birthday. Like yeah. birthday, like
confetti
banners.
Or yeah. something. Yeah. If what I'm describing to you doesn't fill your make your heart go pitter patter, then you're
like a sexy Chuck E. Cheese.
You're messed up. Yes. Like a sexy Chuck E. Cheese. And they have karaoke once a week. So we finally went and it was just pure magic.
What'd you sing?
I sang Criminal, Fiona Apple's Criminal. I also sang Patience, GNR Patience. So those were two hot tracks mm-hmm. that I performed. But there were so many cool regulars that were there that obviously come all the time. There were 19-year-olds and then there were people in their 70s. It was just such a wonderful karaoke experience. Yeah, it was really, really delightful. Also, they have pull tabs, which is a very important bar thing. Like if you're a traditional bar, you're not a hip, cool bar. Yep, just have pull tabs. They're necessary. We did not win very much money.
I thought you guys like won like $20.
We did, but then we just kept spending it.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. Like the point of pull tabs isn't like what money you end up with. It's like what is the biggest dollar amount you got.
I think that we did have maybe one that was a 20.
Yeah, because Roxanne texted it to me and I said, you're a bitch. I am sick at home and you're sending me this shit.
It was good. Daniel was not there, which was the saddest part of all. So I've decided that we're going to go the first Wednesday of the month. So like, I guess if you're creepy and you want to join us, that would be weird. But
get in there, weirdos. Come on.
Come. I mean, it's already full of weirdos. And
we would not even recognize
you. So great. A 21-year-old who was visiting Vancouver from Nanaimo with her dad and her dad's friends sat on my lap, told me all about her time spent up island living in a micro home.
Super
creepy. She was great. I was really into her. I really liked her.
What, like one of those teeny tiny houses?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And she is... she's only 21 years old and she's already done a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I don't do anything. I just hang out here a block from my house, play pull tabs. So that's what's happening with me.
Wonderful.
Karaoke and pull tabs, two of the greatest joys we all know together.
Wonderful.
With beer and fries and like one of those plastic baskets with the checkered paper. It's great. It's just all great stuff. Daniel, what's happening with you?
I'm going to go visit my boyfriend for Valentine's Day next week, and he's going to be working as usual during the weekdays, and so I'm there usually for a week, and I, in the days, will work, but I'm like, my goal for 2016 is to make a friend in LA, so like, that's what I'm determined to do that. I have like one person on Twitter who... I feel like we're supposed to go for brunch, so I'm going to see if I can get a brunch date with her. But she seems like way cooler than I am, so I have to like figure that out. So it's just, it's very weird to be like a full-grown adult and being like, I need to try and make friends when I already have a shitload of friends and I don't want any more, but I know I need to have friends and allies to like. Like, I have his friends for sure, and I'm not going to dismiss them in any way, but it's like...
Are you sure?
Are you sure? You know, you need to have your own friends versus, and it's like an entirely new city. And like, I want to try and find friends who are like more into poetry and literature. And he has writer friends, but they're like TV writers. And it's just, it's not the same.
Yeah.
So that's my
goal. You're very good at meeting friends on Twitter. So I feel like this is going to work out.
I mean, that's, yeah. As you were saying, that's where I met him. So it's like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
You're establishing a beachhead in the city.
A what?
A beachhead.
What's a beachhead?
When you're doing like a war and shit.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm trying to get beachhead.
This is like a war.
Trying to get beachhead in a war. I got it.
A brunch head.
Brunch head!
But yeah, that is... It's a big to-do for me. And so I'm hoping that turns out well. That's all I got.
I think it's great.
I'm sure it will. You're like super personal and shit.
People like
it's just
you.
It's different though in the States though. I feel like they're just everyone has a different mentality in the States. And it's like, I can know I can make friends here in Canada in the way we are, but like, when it like,
I can't wait till your new book comes out, American Friendships.
Yeah, right?
It's gonna be so good.
But yeah, there's just definitely a different take on it.
So alienated by my American friendships.
Are they like less needy than Canadians?
I think they're more like, why are you trying to be friends with me? Whereas in Canada, everyone's just like, yay, friendship. And then, whereas yeah, in the States, like everyone, and like it's racialized too. Like everyone's quite segregated in the States and that weirds me out. Whereas like, I grew up in Vancouver and it was weird not to have, like it was weirder if all your friends were white. Like, it, yeah. So it's just like, it's just a different, and I'm just getting used to it and figuring out. I'm sorting my life out.
Have you thought about like inviting people over for some kind of theme party? Like stuff you're into being like, just bring your poetry books over when we'll just all quietly read together, like in a room.
Yeah. And eat like bottle cap candies.
Bottle cap candies.
All my favorite things. Bottle cap candies, drink Prosecco.
Occasionally recite poems and then feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then be like, oh, I never should have done that.
Complain about people grammar policing on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good theme party.
See? I feel like that's what you needed. You just need like a way to get people together.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I have going on.
You need Grindr for American friends.
That's what it is. It's like, I don't like, that's what my Twitter is essentially, but people are more cagey about it. People are like, it took a long time for this person to be like, oh, this person's okay. And it took like also a yes from another American, like another American being like, oh, this guy's funny.
Right.
You're getting vetted.
Yeah.
You can't just send your b-hole pictures out.
Yeah. You can't just b-hole around. Yeah.
Speaking of b-holes, Ben.
Yes.
You are guest editing the upcoming issue of Poetry is Dead. Yeah. And the theme is
your b-hole.
No, I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to wait for someone to interrupt me.
50 poems about my b-hole.
Yeah.
I believe the theme is prose, poetry, and superheroes.
Yes.
PP&S.
Yeah.
Is that a code for something that people want to do sexually?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't know anything.
We'll draw you a diagram later.
Great. We'll put it up. We'll put it up on the website. Ben's diagram. He's going to make it on one of these cocktail napkins. So the issue, it's done. You're wrapping it up.
It was a good process. I liked going through all the submissions and liked soliciting work from people. There's some really good stuff in this issue. I'm excited about the essays. We've got a great one in there about Jim and the Holograms.
I read that one. Mm-hmm. I like it very much.
Jim is like really making a comeback and really important.
Jim is very important.
She is, in fact, truly outrageous.
She is. Yeah. Truly, truly.
I feel like I never watched Jim and the Holograms.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I think I've seen it before, but I like, it might have just been out of my...
Yeah, it might be a little bit out of your generation.
Yeah.
So how did you arrive at the theme? Like, the two things coming together. Superheroes and prose poetry, mixing it up.
It's legitimately just the my two favorite things.
Oh, okay.
It's literally just like a magazine of like the things that I like best.
I actually really respect that because I feel so often people want to go through this process of trying to find a way to really make things connect. And you're just like, fuck it. I like two kinds of things and this is what I want.
Yeah. No, it's like I like prose poetry a lot.
Yeah, it's so good.
I sort of look down on line breaks.
Yeah. They can be shitty.
I do not look down on line breaks.
I love both equally.
I like line broken poetry. It's fine. I write it sometimes.
It's fine, whatever.
But I just eventually realized that I had stopped writing it. Like, it's just easier to write prose poems.
Yeah.
They're very
satisfying.
Yeah. There's like a particular voice that they often have too that really like jives with me. And then superheroes, I've read superhero comics since I was like basically reading. love them, even though they're most of them are stupid or weirdly fascist or whatever. Like,
but also I think there are so many people, writers included, who are super influenced by superhero comics, and also the basis of their reading lives is based in that.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of poetry, a very unpopular genre that's not read very well, merging with that.
Well, I feel like poets often deal with like the superhero thing where you're like trying to juggle your real life with your like superhero life or your poet life.
Wait, are you saying that poets are superheroes?
Yes.
Cool. I can't wait. We're all going to get... Why don't we all have spandex? This goes
We're
back...
We're working on this. This is our 2016
goal. Oh, yeah, 2016. Goal. Listen, only one person has tweeted us about Canlet jumpsuit 2016.
Yeah, aren't you guys like super into jumpsuits this year?
We're trying to get jumpsuits.
I also definitely sourced one that's
I want a cat suit. Like, I want a full, tight, pure...
That's so easy, though. Like, that's going to happen.
I guess I can just go to like a cool stripper store and get one.
You need like patriotically themed jumpsuits, too. That's super important. Like, you need like some sort of Brady Bunch, like Variety Hour jumpsuits.
Oh, that's so good.
Wait, well, like,
should I be getting a rom-com cat suit? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That has the rom-com cover printed on it. I do like this very much, and I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I was assuming like for our Cantlet ones, it would be like red and white.
Oh, thing. We should get Cantlet ones for sure that have the logo.
Yeah,
and they're red and white.
A little color Power Rangery looking.
Some color blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, that's a good suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the other thing I was going to say is that your work, it's like the writing you do kind of hits on both these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I rarely write line breaks, and I tend to write comic booky things all the time. I'm working on a poem about Jedis and Return of the Jedi, even though you hate Star Wars.
We hate Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a Cantlet conspiracy. Yeah. We're like the only two people who haven't seen Star Wars.
I saw like four of them.
No, I just mean the new movie.
Oh no, nobody who's gonna who wants to watch the new one. The worst is
like
that
everybody. That's why it's made
the
so
worst
much money.
Is like when they're like queer baiting me, where they're like, "There's a queer character." I'm like, unless I see his pee go in that other guy's B, there's no queer character to me.
P's and B's, or don't even call me. Don't text me. Don't Snapchat me.
Oh, I will say the one thing. This is a TMI.
There is no TMI.
I'm not
on a Cantlet, but definitely stumbled on Star Wars gay porn.
Okay.
Full episode, and you're just, and it was so hilarious because.
Is it the porn parody with like.
There was like, who was in it?
The Darth Vader blowjob?
Yeah, there was a Darth Vader blowjob. That was crazy. I was like, how are you supposed to even like remotely get an erection for
this?
I
don't think we've been swearing, but this definitely still has to go in the explicit category.
Yeah.
It's good.
I've said erection on every episode.
Yeah, we've talked about erections a lot today.
Darth Vader erection was so weird. And it's like, if you're going to go full porn parody, take off the thing and show a super hot dude. Just do it. Like, don't.
But this is for people who like mask sex.
That's true.
Yeah, like, these you're are only people watching who this thing cosplay. If you really want to watch Vader getting a blowjob.
Yeah, that's true. These are like cosplay loving character.
I do love the idea though of boat. Like,
yeah,
like stormtrooper locker room gay sex. Like, that's funny.
Wait, do they have a locker room
in this one? They do. Like, but it's not like a locker room, but like they're
it's
like
a stormtrooper locker room.
Yeah,
where like they keep their stormtrooper stuff.
I think they're like changing or whatever. They've
just like been in the stormtrooper sauna.
But also, like, you know, it's like a missed opportunity. As somebody who hates Star Wars, like using the Force to jerk somebody off, or is that already in there?
No,
did I miss that part?
Is that in your poem?
There's a Harry Potter porn that like really goes for it,
gay or straight?
Gay, and there's like lots
How did
of
I
like.
I miss this.
Daniel's on his phone right now.
There's like invisibility cloak like sex scenes. Where you just see like a penis floating across the screen because vast amounts of green screen get used.
Yeah.
You got to make use of it. You're paying for all that.
I always thought it'd be funny if like they used the curse Engorgio for a dink. Right? Like it's like this dude who has a smaller penis and then he uses the curse, or not the curse, the
spell.
The spell of Engorgio. And then actually the whole porn should be called Engorgio. Like, yeah, I didn't...
it definitely should.
It was called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Balls.
Oh, they just gave up near the halfway through. They, you know what they did? They were like, this is pretty funny. And then halfway through the title, were like,
well, stones and balls. I get where they were going.
Hmm. I feel like it's got a rhyme.
I don't disagree, but yeah, I feel like thematically it still fits.
Yeah. I get it.
So, Ben. Well, I like what Daniel was saying about your work. And I agree. Also, I don't think I know anyone that writes more than you. You are the most prolific.
I like when you're writer. Disappointed at yourself for writing like only 1,000 words. And I was like, that was me all year.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I only wrote 20,000 words in the last 2 days. And you're like, shut up. But you are very prolific and you...
post about it extensively on Facebook. And...
Well, I mean, you're just sharing.
You're living your life.
There's a certain amount of shame, like self-shaming. Like if I keep posting about it, then I'll keep going.
Yeah, it's motivating
to you. Yeah. I need to write to function. Like, it helps my mental health.
Okay.
When I don't write, when I go through periods where I don't write at all, I get crazy. Like, really not good crazy.
Yeah.
I go into the dark place.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the writing is keeping you from accessing that part of your brain.
Yeah. Because otherwise, then I'm just, like, working, like, my day job. Right. And, like, I feel really depressed.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that we've talked about a lot. Danielle and I, just the idea of doing other things to sort of overcome your day job.
Yeah. That's where I get like the superhero thing works for me because it makes me think of Spider-Man and how a lot of Spider-Man stuff is about how he's basically really shitty at one thing. Like, he's either really good at his professional life or he's really good at his superhero life. And it requires him to constantly be balancing those things. And he's always failing at one of them. I tend to feel that way about, like, my life. Like, I'm either, like, working a lot or I'm writing a lot. And one is always out of balance with the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you can't... It's hard to maintain all of that stuff. And sometimes I'm just straight up terrible at all of it. And that's fine, too.
Well, then you're, like, trying to throw in, like, having, like, friends and, like, a partner. And, like, it's all just a mess. So, like, just the idea of, trying to balance those kind of lives is, like, is something that's pretty central to, like, how I function. And also how I write. And, like, I tend to think a lot about that. Like, I'm working on, like, werewolf stuff right now. Which, yeah, like, it plays into that, all those ideas.
Yeah, as a hairy person, I really identify with that.
There's extensive shaving scenes in what I'm writing.
Are there?
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, I can't wait to read this. Is this a novel?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew you were working on some wolfy novel business.
It's fiction, which I find, like, incredibly intensively draining.
Yeah,
but
agree.
Like, poetry, it's just like I can do it over here, like, without even really thinking about it too much. But fiction is harder, and I feel like it ends up taking over more of my life.
Yeah, I completely understand that. Yeah, no, I mean,
no, I
think
agree
that,
as well.
Yeah, like, just. Even like a sustained prose line for multiple pages, it's a lot.
Because for me, poetry is usually like there's some sort of concept, there's some sort of idea, and I can produce it within a day or two. And it's not going to be perfect, but I like editing. So then the editing process is easy because then I just do that for a month or two and I spend a shitload of time on it.
And the editing process of poetry is... Even though it's still editing, I mean, I also like editing, but it feels so much less stressful than the editing process.
Yeah, because you're like, you're moving words around, you're moving sentences around. It's very, you can see it. You can see it on a page and you're like, what am I doing to shift
this? You get to look at the whole thing at one time for the most part.
And a novel is so huge.
Yeah.
And like, I tend to be an over-editor more with fiction than with poetry. Like, I feel like with poetry, I can find the balance really easily. With fiction, I tend to just rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. And I could keep rewriting until the skin fell off of me and I like died. And I would still not be really happy with it.
God. So hard.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, I have not done the novel yet. I've done short stories. So I'm just slowly... I'm just edging. And... to me, a short story so much because you're so concerned about whether it's no longer about a sentence or a word. It's like a scene or a paragraph or an entire like character that can be ruining or making your thing better.
Yeah.
And that's so weird. Because also everyone has so many opinions also on fiction. So you can show it to a lot of people and everyone will be like, I don't like this person. I don't like that. And you're like, I don't know what to listen to. Whereas poetry, nobody really has a lot of opinions on it because they're like, well, I didn't really get it, but it sounded nice. Like, and that's the most you get.
Yeah. And like fiction, I find that it like the playing field is so vast that it doesn't matter where you think it's going. It's going to go somewhere completely different, even more than like short fiction. But you're not, you're like, you're, it's just like you're out in the wasteland and you like can't find your way back to where you were.
Yeah.
Like I outline a lot. Like I'm constantly outlining and re-outlining and reevaluating where things sit with each other. And then totally like restructuring. Like I'm a terrible restructurer. Like I'm always like, oh, this needs to go over here. This needs to go over here. Or what if it was all in flashback? Or like, what if I change point of view because I can't stand being in this character's mind for so right. long? I tend to write, rotate. Like I rotate points of view. Like I hate being in one character's head for too long. It makes me kind of nuts. A lot of things make me nuts. I'm kind of a mess.
That's kind of the theme of the day.
Yeah. What makes you nuts?
Everything.
Okay. Can we quickly go back to the issue? Because I'm interested in sort of what kind of submissions you were getting. Because I saw
the finished product.
Yeah. Like what you accepted. But so in addition to that, like what kind of submissions were you getting for the issue?
Really, it's actually really interesting to see all of the ways that people take prose poetry, because you're throwing out like a pretty important tool in a poet's kit, like the line break and like enjambment, and you're just tossing it aside. There's a lot of people that do very non-linear surrealist work, and like sometimes that works for me, and sometimes it really doesn't, and it was interesting to see where people took like both pieces, like the prose poetry and the superhero thing, and they combined them.
Yeah.
And then in some cases that created really interesting things. And in other cases, it was stuff that didn't quite hit for me because they were trying to force them together.
But were there cases where both of those things were happening at the same time? I read some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a really good Batman one, which is like amazing. And it sort of like flows between Batman and the Joker. And it's like very dark.
It's really good.
Yeah. What else do we have? Yeah, there's some really good stuff.
Tease. Give us a tease.
There's a Vader poem.
Yeah.
No blowjob.
A chaste Vader.
Don't worry, I'm going to edit it so there's a blowjob.
Great.
I am the editor-in-chief. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to add blowjobs to every single poem.
There's some really good prose poems in there. I definitely picked some that were line broken. Like we have one about Superman that has line breaks in it. That's all about like sexual potency, basically. And
about Clark Kent and Superman. Yeah.
I wanted some Wonder Woman poetry, which didn't really end up clicking this time.
Oh, I wish that I had been on top of that.
Get your shit together.
I know. I can't submit to Poetry's Dead every time. It's too weird.
Whatever.
I need to create distance.
Okay.
From the things I love. Like you guys. No, just kidding.
And the essays are really good. Like I got like a really good essay from Andrea Bennett about prose poetry and like what it means to her, because I've known Andrea a long time and like we've talked a lot about that element of poetry and how it works and like why it works for us. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting to actually see her sort of write those ideas down and then like articulate them.
Yeah.
Really good essay on superheroes generally, which kind of encapsulated what I find really interesting about them and like the way that comics can compress a lot of information down. And like how weird comics are.
Yeah, they're so weird.
They're like super weird. And like the way that when you've got material that's been flying around for like 70 or 80 years, you end up with like these characters with so much backstory like lying on top of them, that if you actually articulate what it all is. It just, like, they just sound insane.
I also like that within that concept that a lot of superheroes have different narratives. Like, they're not... Yes. Like, there's some with no consistency of narrative with how they've been produced. Like, I was a big Spider-Man fan when I was growing up. And I loved that I was so confused about what to purchase because I had, like they created a Spider-Man 2000 and...
Oh, 2099?
2099, yeah, that was it. And so I bought all those and I was big into that. But it was like I would read Spider-Man at the same time and have like no idea what was going on. I was like, I don't understand how these even anyway connect. But I loved that they offered different... Like they were just like, here we go. Here's just a character, but also narrative-wise, we're going to let it split off in so many ways that creatively we're free to do whatever we want.
And they're doing that more and more. Like there's a version of Spider-Man now where Gwen Stacy, who was one of his girlfriends who got killed.
Yeah.
There's a comic book where she's alive and Peter Parker died and she's Spider-Woman.
Yeah. I heard about Spider-Woman.
And she's, it's super great because for a long time, Gwen Stacy was literally like the girl that died. And like, that was all that she was. And she was just like this sort of symbol of like his power versus responsibility bullshit. And that her version of Peter was like a horrible fucking nerd who like turned himself into a supervillain because he like hated being weak. And so he ends up dying. And then like, she has a lot of guilt about that. And it's really like interesting to see the way that narrative is twisted around. So that it makes it about her rather than him. And then the way that he sort of ghosts over the narrative, kind of like she did over his, but tainted by the fact that he was basically an asshole, which is sort of unusual to admit for a superhero or like a character that's attached to one of them.
Right.
Yeah. See, I find this super fascinating because I'm much more of an outsider. Like, aesthetically, I think that was always my problem. I never liked the way superhero comics looked. They were just not aesthetically appealing to me. So that was the reason I didn't read them. It wasn't even the content. I was just like, these drawings are ugly to me and I don't like them. Straight up, that was it. And I feel like that's a huge part of what makes superhero comics the way they are, is that aesthetic. And then as a teenager, I did get more into, you know, you find out what feminism is and you're like, cool, let's find out what Wonder Woman's up to. You know what I mean? And like those kind of levels was the way that I got into it. And just to hear that kind of sort of deeper exploration of what it means to be a superhero versus a supervillain, or the way that you're interpreted within that world.
And Wonder Woman's super interesting.
She's super interesting. I had like multiple history books about Wonder Woman.
There's a
like new, the history of like her mythology and all.
Yeah,
that
like there's
stuff,
a new biography about her creator Zsa, because it's about like him and then his wife and their girlfriend because they were in a poly relationship.
Yeah, it's so,
and how like how they were all working on the narrative together, but like because of the time they were sort of like silent partners. The early Wonder Woman stories are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
They're like fairy tales and they're so bizarre.
Yeah.
And that's kind of dropped away from her for a long time.
Yeah. Right. Well, because it's weird because she, you know, has sort of this non-American lineage, but then she becomes this symbol
super
of
American
patriotism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like for many decades, it's mostly been like a bunch of men trying to figure out how to write Wonder Woman, which...
I mean, this is why there hasn't been any Wonder Woman appearances in movies or anything since the TV show was on in the 70s, because nobody knew what to do with it. And it was constantly being done inappropriately. Yeah. And then they made that TV show a couple years ago for NBC.
Yeah, it was like a pilot. And then it never
starring Tyra
up.
From Friday Night Lights. I don't remember her real name and I apologize.
Adrian Pilecki.
Thank you. Tyra from Friday Night Lights. Please watch Friday Night Lights. Don't watch the Super Bowl. Just watch Friday Night Lights. Don't be weird.
Is that Aaron Sorkin?
No.
I was going to say.
No. It's like the opposite of Aaron Sorkin. There's real feelings, not like weird Sorkin
feelings.
Smeary, yeah.
90s sociopaths.
But yeah, I mean, and yeah, they made that pilot and everyone was just furious about it.
The 70s show was pretty amazing.
It was so good!
Deborah Winger's in it, which is...
There's so many great things about it. Yeah. There's so many people in it that are so wonderful. Linda Carter is a treasure. She spells her name with a Y.
Val Wagner. All of the scenes of them like flying in the invisible jet, like back and forth. Yeah. And you're just like, it's an inflatable.
Yeah, that's fine.
An inflatable
robot
jet. That's
all that matters.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's another thing that's interesting about superheroes is they're constantly, in a way, it's like Shakespeare, like things are constantly being adapted though.
Yeah.
And there are these basic stories and they're like, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do an interpretation that involves this, this, and this. And we're going to make it into a TV show. We're going to make it into a movie. We're going to make it into a play. We're going to do whatever.
Yeah. I don't like how a lot of the movies, like obviously like superhero movies are a real big thing right now. A lot of them
Just kidding.
A lot of them pick like the most crappy stories, or it's like they'll pick the one that's like very important for like historical reasons, but like they take out all the context.
Right.
One of my favorite things though is seeing a new superhero movie come out that I don't watch and then watching super fan nerds be like, this isn't what's supposed to happen.
It's great.
They don't care. They want money.
Yeah, they're like, are kids gonna buy these toys or not buy these toys?
Yeah.
Are people gonna buy t-shirts with this on it?
It's funny that they don't even like, based on how I've seen reactions as an outsider as well, where you're like, oh, they like 70% of the time don't even try to like appease the storyline or narrative.
Yeah, like the storytelling part of it is not as important as the marketing or the branding or getting whoever the hot actor is at the time.
Like, what's the one that's coming up that I'm like, I can't tell what. Is it Deadpool? Is that the name of it?
Yeah, Deadpool.
Like, I feel like I don't know if
there's nothing. There's no context.
Like, you
in
can't.
The trailers,
yeah, you can never
no
tell if you're like, oh,
poster.
Is this going to be good for the? Like, are people going to like this? Like, I mean, talking about super fans, or is it going to be? To me, like automatically, I'm like backlashy because they're doing like Ryan Reynolds. Like the whole point of that, I think, movie will be hopefully he just takes his shirts off a lot.
Yeah. That's
putting
all.
Shirts
that's,
on, taking shirts
yeah.
off.
That's literally all I need out of the one.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Just abs. I think like what I found is really interesting is the TV shows are tending to be better because they're not so stuck to the.
That's like some across the board shit about TV versus movies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But yes,
but, like,
I think that
they don't have the. They're not trying to shove them into the 3-act structure. Like, Jessica Jones was fucking amazing. I don't know if you've seen that.
I watched all of it.
Really good.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And it's a good example, in my mind, of, like, a really crappy comic book that got adapted into something really amazing.
Because they took the essence of what was good about,
and then
like,
they distilled
the...
it.
Yeah, thematically or about that story, and then they made it into something that was better.
I also felt like it benefited from having a female showrunner rather than a male writer. But Daredevil was also good, and like I feel like that those shows benefit from not having to like be shoved into a really like tight frame in the same way, and they like got to delve into characters a lot more.
The only tight thing superheroes should be in is spandex.
Yeah.
Otherwise, don't do that to the structure.
Sort of plasticky thing. No.
No.
Just spandex.
Spandex.
Just let me visualize what they look like naked. Through a slight thin layer.
Like, that's very colorful.
Yeah.
Like, a really colorful thin layer. Yeah. Yeah, good. It's real good.
Yeah. Jessica Jones is really good, and Daredevil was good. Agent Carter has been really good as well.
Yeah, people have been talking that up quite a bit.
It's super bright, and pot, like, the aesthetic is really tight.
I am going to transition us...
Are you ready for this segment?
Yeah.
Okay. So, speaking of superheroes, I know for a fact that Ben is going to get all of these. But, Daniel...
Do you want me to answer first so that I can answer incorrectly?
Yeah. Okay. So,
I don't even know what this is, but I'm assuming I don't know.
This game is called Superhero or Super Fake. So, either this is a real superhero's name, or It is a fake name that I made up.
Oh, yeah. I should definitely go first because I'm going to get everyone's wrong.
So I tried to pick obscure superheroes, but I'm sure, again, that Ben knows who they are. So
I'm going to read Ben's face to figure it out.
No, you have to look over here. Okay. Squirrel Girl. Daniel. Don't look at Ben.
I looked at Ben because that's too weird.
Look at him. I wish that everyone could see Daniel's face.
Well,
and
like,
Ben's
this
face.
One's so weird that I think Ben should answer. Like, I don't think he'll know.
Okay, Ben.
The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, superhero.
It's a fucking great comic book.
It seems really cool. After reading about it made me really into it. Whizzer.
Ben, you should answer.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He knows them all. Also, my favorite was that this superhero was bit by a cobra and then had to drink mongoose blood. And it was the mongoose blood that gave him superpowers. Okay. Mongoose blood. Okay. I could not get over it.
I'm just
so going to
answer now because apparently Ben does know it.
I know he knows them all. Okay. Otter Woman. Daniel's face and Ben's face. I hate that only I can see this.
This
right
is not
now.
Real.
You're correct. It's fake.
Yeah.
This I mean,
just
I
for you.
Wish it
yeah,
was
that's
real.
Why I'm just like,
good for you.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Ben's going to know all of these. Arm Fall Off Boy.
like I think fake, but also remember that commercial where it's a robot and his arm falls
off.
Yeah,
we've talked about
like,
this before. What does he say? I can put my arm back on,
but
you
can't.
You can't.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, does Ben? Name?
I forget.
Oh, it's real.
Yeah. No,
oh my.
No. We're talking about like the character has a name, and he puts his arm back on.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Wait, that's fake, right?
No, I'm Fall Off Boy is real.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's real? Laser Fart Man.
What does he... No, wait. What does Arm Fall Off Boy do?
He can remove
his
limbs.
And he can, like, throw them at people or use them to beat people.
That's just owning a bat.
Yeah, well, except you don't look like you're carrying a weapon. Your weapon is on you. Laser Fart Man.
Real.
Fake. But it's such a good name.
I wish that was
right?
Real.
It's a really... Ben, please write this comic. Tight pants person.
Ben has not like given any facial changes.
Ben is so good at poker.
No,
wait,
I'm
say
not.
It again.
I'm trying really hard.
Say it again.
Tight pants person.
Like
your face.
No, fake.
Yep, that's correct. That's fake.
Okay,
but it's also a good name.
That took me a long time because I was just like, no, that sounds like a great Japan.
See, you love it, Doll Man.
Ben did a face that it's real.
He knows.
His partner's Doll Girl.
Oh my God.
Cher.
Like the cumin Cher?
The cumin.
Cher the cumin spice.
Like,
yeah, Cher. She's a superhero. The end. We don't have to debate this. Obviously, Cher is a superhero. The end.
Yeah.
Infectious Lass.
It's not even like a real word.
Infectious?
Did you say Infectious Lass?
He's a writer.
Infectious Lass. That's not a real
okay,
word.
So it's not even a superhero because it's a writer? What?
No, you're a writer and you don't know the word infectious, Ben.
I know infectious, but I thought you said Infectious Lass.
Infectious Lass. As in like...
Oh, this is probably real because it's such
totally
a fucking
real.
Weird thing.
Ben knows.
What is it, Ben?
Yep, Infectious Lass.
What is it?
She has the power to make you have any illness that you want.
See, oh,
for fuck's
so
sake.
Amazing! Red Step Ladder.
That's just a red step ladder. No, do not say it's a real
that's
one.
Fake.
Okay. But Ben was like,
from
it's a...
Done.
But don't you like it?
Yeah, because Ben was just like, yeah, she has the power to like lift you up. Like, it's like that.
Powdered Toast Man. I'm only looking at Daniel.
I know, I'm just looking at Ben because I'm like, he's going to know or not. And real.
Yes.
Yeah, from Ren and Stimpy. He's a special
I know
superhero.
It.
Yeah.
Aww,
yeah.
I know that one.
The couch potato.
With like hot buns,
yeah,
right?
Hot buns. And he turns around and they're like
yeah.
Tight little hot buns. Yep. The couch potato.
Real.
No, fake. I made it up. But it's a good one also that I would love to read. Super misguided person.
That one has to be real.
It's not. It's fake.
I love it because it's like a superpower is like my superpower, which just doesn't get
super.
It. Just doesn't get it.
Ben, do you think that my superheroes are good?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Matter Eater Lad.
Well, that has to be real because Ben just did a weird face.
Tell us about it.
Matter Eater Lad is amazing. He comes from the planet Bismol. He lives in
like Pepto-Bismol.
Pepto City on planet Bismol.
Like, and it's not even actually an ad.
No.
Which is what's great about it.
Everyone on his planet, the food was poisonous. They ended up having to evolve the ability to eat inorganic matter.
So he can eat whatever.
He was a senator for a while.
I have the same power.
In space.
If I have Tums.
Yeah, if I've got Pepto, I can just
Were you at any, like, for all of our fake ones, were you just like, that's fake? You just knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you knew.
I wasn't sure if, like, maybe if you had played it, you would have been like, oh, I don't know. Okay.
No, he would definitely... I knew he would know them all.
Oh, those exhausted me.
Yeah, that was a lot. Sorry, guys. Sorry that had to happen. If anyone
How did
wants-
you find those?
I just went online.
Because Ben just had it from his knowledge of just clearly knowing all superheroes.
Yeah, he just knows. I knew that he would
Ben,
know.
What's the weirdest superhero you've...
The weirdest superhero?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, there's a lot of them.
He is pretty weird.
There's
JC.
Plaid Lad, who could make people's clothes plaid.
What's the point of that?
So everyone just looks really great.
But like just to be more stylish? Yeah. So Casey's like, oh, so plain. Boop, plaid.
Pretty much.
That's great.
But it would be like creeping. Like it would like be plaid creeping up your clothing. You wouldn't even know at first until it was too late.
That doesn't seem that disturbing to me.
No. Seems I'd be like oh,
fun,
great.
That's like a fun surprise. Yeah.
Stone Boy, who could just turn into stone, but like could do nothing else. Couldn't move, couldn't like he was just like a statue.
Well then how does like that's my other like question is like what defines a superhero if their powers suck?
If they want to help people, I guess.
Okay, so they still help people.
Yeah. Okay, like I mean you like Stone Boy's power is stupid, but you also don't want Stone Boy to like land on you while he's made out of stone.
Sure.
I guess but like if someone pushed Stone Boy out of an airplane?
Yeah. Is
like an anvil? Yeah. Yeah.
But like Plaid Lad, like is he like he shows up to a party, say on like Main Street, and they're at a brewery.
And everyone's already plaid?
And everyone's already plaid except for one guy who's like, oh no, I didn't. He's like, got you. Boo.
Yeah. That's like a public service.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Yeah, there were some other ones that I came across, but these ones made me the most happy in terms of content and name.
There's tons of stupid superheroes, but they're kind of all amazing because the ones that are stupid are... Someone had to think of that.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't land for whatever reason.
As I was doing this, I was legitimately thinking, I was like, well... What kind of names do they have? And like, how do I make the names come together to be fake or not fake? Yeah. And
there's a really good book that came out recently called The League of Regrettable Heroes, which is just, it's an encyclopedia of all the stupidest superheroes.
Is there a superhero that you hate that you're like, ugh, worst?
I don't actually like Wolverine that much.
Oh, is it because he's Canadian?
No, it's because he's like, he's everywhere. He's really... It's that thing where he's, like, super violent and aggressive and, I feel like he gets more play because of he, like, plays into some sort of, like, toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, and then which superhero do you love the most?
Robot Man, which he weirdly plays into toxic masculinity at the same time.
But in a way where you're into it.
Yeah, because he's basically just a brain in a robot
Who's
body.
Who's Robot Man?
He's a race car driver that gets into a horrible accident and they just transplant his brain into a robot body. So he's like constantly like really bitchy and angry because he can't experience like sensation anymore. And his life just makes no sense.
Wow. Okay, which superhero are you most sexually attracted to?
That's a good question.
I mean, I guarantee you've thought about this, so don't act like you haven't.
Mine, I always say, is Punisher.
Ooh.
Because he's such a piece of shit.
He's like a meathead.
You and your dirtbags.
Yeah. You love a meathead dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like his shirt's never fully, like, on. It's, like, it's usually ripped up a little bit. And you're like, yeah, great, I can see your nipple.
Punisher. I feel like Aquaman would be really grateful for the attention.
So you like him because of his neediness. Oh, this is a real problem. So you want more of a codependent relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would bring me sushi.
And, yeah, he definitely would bring you sushi. Okay, and then which superhero would you want to be, like, your best friend?
The Flash.
What are you guys going to do together?
I'd have him carry me places really fast.
That's so good. That's genius. That's pretty good. That's real genius. Okay, great. I don't think I have any other questions about that.
I have a question. Ben, where can we find you online?
On Twitter at Brawlick.
I call you Brawlick.
Brawlick.
Oh, yeah, I say Brawlick too.
Okay, I'm glad that other people are doing this.
And then I have a website, benrawlick.ca.
Yeah.
And there's the Tumblr we don't talk about.
Secret Tumblr.
It's a great Tumblr if you can find it. You're so lucky.
I know the name, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it either.
You can find us on Tumblr. We're at cantlit.ca. We are also on
Twitter.
Facebook. Cantlit. Facebook, Cantlit. And then you can also subscribe to us on Stitcher or iTunes or any other podcasting services.
Whatever apps and things you use.
Whatever you want.
Ben, we have one more question for you.
Yes.
What can't you with?
What can't I? I can't with anything.
Wow. So just like nothing.
Anything.
Just like over it.
Yeah.
Would you say you're over it?
Yeah.
Great. Well.
What a superpower.
Is that your superhero name? Over it. I love it. It's beautiful.
Super over it.
Super over it. Well, for me, Couch Potato. I mean, Laser Fart Person.
Super misguided person.
Thank you for listening. And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Super goodbye.